Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and the Lamb who was slain, who is indeed our risen Lord Jesus Christ. We love tradition. Tradition gives us a sense of stability in a non-stable world. Now, traditions can bring a source of comfort, they can bring people together, they can be a part of our heritage. They give us our identity. Now, some traditions are easy to explain. Like, we can explain to someone why we do what we do on the 4th of July. Other traditions have unknown origins, but we do them anyway. Like, no one knows why we kiss people under the mistletoe on Christmas. And then there are other traditions where your family might keep them, and my family might think they're really weird. And vice versa. And many people like to say that Jesus was a great revolutionary. He questioned the ways and the means of the Jewish patriarchy. He called for change. He taught things that no one had ever heard before. And he made some people very angry. Actually, Jesus taught nothing new. He wasn't coming up with things on the spot, but came to reveal what he and the Father and the Holy Spirit had foreordained from before the creation of all things. It is from our perspective that Jesus teaches us something totally new, totally unheard of. So it is true from where we stand and the way that we look at things that Jesus ushers in a new tradition. Consider the words of 1 Peter 1:17-21. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless and aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. When you hear Peter use that phrase, received by tradition from your fathers, what do you think? Who are the fathers you think of? Probably most of you think of the Old Testament ancestors of the New Testament Jews. That's what I thought about right away. And you would have good reason to think so. When the Bible mentions fathers, it usually refers to Abraham and his descendants. And Peter certainly had those people in mind. The tradition of the Jewish fathers was, of course, the ceremonial law of Moses. It was a tradition that many Jews felt was something that could not be questioned. It had to be done. After all, this tradition came from God himself. But those traditions soon became aimless, even worthless, the moment anyone staked his salvation in the keeping of those traditions. The very purpose of those laws and ceremonies was to show the impossibility for anyone to keep them unto salvation. Yet we are not being exempted from considering the tradition of our fathers and considering how aimless they are. 1 Peter is one of those epistles in the category of the general epistles. They are so called because they are not addressed to any one particular group, like the Ephesians or the Galatians, nor are they addressed to any particular person like Titus or Timothy. Peter addresses his letter to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And those areas comprise most of what we know today as Turkey. This letter was read by many people, not just Jews, but many Gentiles as well. So what were the traditions of the fathers of the Gentiles? Well, simply put, it was polytheism. They took what we would call Greek mythology as fact. Everything they had and everything that happened to them was the product of the gods. And if you wanted to live a good life, then you had better do whatever you can to stay on the good side of the gods. What an aimless tradition. All that struggling to please gods that don't exist and who, if they did exist, well, they were no one to look up to. They were flawed, just like humans. And in the end, this tradition taught that for most people, the best that they could expect was to have favor in this life and avoid punishment in the afterlife. Only a select few, like some poets, playwrights, emperors, and philosophers who really pleased the gods, would enter into any sort of bliss in the afterlife. It might seem simplistic that God's word divides the world into two groups, Jews and Gentiles. The fact is, it doesn't need to be any more complicated than that. People by nature either try to call upon the Father by offering up their own works, or they try to call upon false gods by offering up their own works. And when they find that their own works don't do the trick, when they don't make the payment, they try to offer up gold or silver, or whatever they think of is of value. It is in our nature to think that we can redeem our lives and escape condemnation with far less than gold or silver. A few good hours of good conduct, going to worship and call upon God, but only going through the motions, believing that your money can do more for you than the precious blood of Christ, getting caught up in the philosophies of this world that claim to be able to make us better people, who might be able to please God. But Jesus calls us to repent of that aimless tradition, to turn from our previous conduct, and take up the new tradition that He alone has ushered in. He brings the new tradition of faith and hope in God. Now, the Bible doesn't really call it a tradition, because it's much better than that. It's a bigger thing than that. God calls it a new covenant. The old covenant demanded actions and offerings that no one could fulfill. And that old covenant was given only to one nation. But this new covenant is for all people. You are all invited into this new covenant, which Jesus says is in His blood. The blood of Jesus, the true Passover lamb, makes all the difference. Only the blood of the man born without sin and who never sinned and who was also true God could pay the price to buy back sinners. And how can we be sure that His blood was precious enough to redeem us from sin and death? Because God did not leave Jesus dead in the grave, but raised Him from the dead to assure all of us that we are redeemed. The Father is satisfied with the payment. Now we live by faith in God's new covenant and in hope that Jesus has paid for our sins. You take any other human tradition, and you can take it or leave it. You might get strange looks from other people, or you might be shunned by other people if you choose not to follow their traditions, but it's not the end of the world. But this new tradition that Jesus ushers in is, it does change everything. It actually changes everything. It brings results that could not happen outside of Jesus' redeeming death and resurrection. Luther tells of these results, this new tradition. All this He did that I should be His own and live under Him and His kingdom and serve Him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, even as He is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. Before any tradition came about, yes, even before any humans came about, before the foundation of the world, God's plan was in place to redeem the world through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. So our faith is in the eternal and everlasting God. Our hope is in the sure fact that Jesus is the first fruits from the dead. And so all who believe in the Lamb of God made manifest in these times will rise incorruptible in Him. Amen.
The hymn selected for this morning's chapel is hymn 371 from the Lutheran hymnal.
Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in peace arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Bold shall I stand in that great day, for who art to thy charge shall lay, fully through thee absolved I am, from sin and fear, from guilt and shame. The holy meek unspotted Lamb, who from the Father's bosom came, who died for me in meat atone, now for my Lord and God I own. Lord, I believe thy precious blood, which at the mercy seat of God forever doth for sinners plead, for me e'en for my soul was shed. Lord, I believe we're sinners more than sands upon the ocean shore. Thou hast for all a ransom paid, for all a full atonement made. When from the dust of death I rise, to claim my mansion in the skies, even this shall be all my plea. Jesus hath lived and died for me. Jesus, be endless praise to thee, whose boundless mercy hath for me, for me and all thy hands have made an everlasting rest.